Open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, we could give it a subtitle. We could call it the broken-hearted prophet. The broken-hearted prophet. Someone has well said that amid all the bright stars of Old Testament history, there is none that shines brighter than Jeremiah. Among all the writers of the Old Testament, there is none who shines brighter than Jeremiah. Jeremiah contains the prophecy of a man who was called of God to be a prophet while he was still an infant. And it was God's plan that Jeremiah would prophesy during the darkest days of Judah's history. In other words, he would prophesy during that time when the nation died. That was the period when Jeremiah would prophesy. For nearly 50 years, Jeremiah faithfully proclaimed a message of condemnation. He proclaimed a message of judgment to a people who were stiff-necked, to a people who were rebellious. And of course, he took no pleasure in that. You know, sometimes preachers have to preach messages that, to be honest with you, they would rather preach something else. There are times when we come across things in our studies in the scriptures that we have to deal with, and it's not an easy thing. But a faithful minister will not skip those things. He will deal with those things. And even though Jeremiah's message was not pleasant, he was faithful to proclaim it, and he proclaimed it with a broken heart. Proclaimed it with a broken heart. In fact, he's called the weeping prophet, and that's based on Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse number 1, where Jeremiah made the statement. He said, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Jeremiah, brokenhearted. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Let's begin our study this morning by, let me just give you a couple of things here. First of all, this book of Jeremiah contains 52 chapters. There's 52 chapters in this book of Jeremiah. And it also contains 1,364 verses. 1,364 verses. Well, that is an introduction. Let's move then, number one, let's move to the introduction. The introduction. As we consider the introduction, again, three things that we're going to notice. And the first one will be the name. The name. The Hebrew title is Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu. It's the title that comes from the very first verse of this book, where it says the words of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. That's where the title in the Hebrew Bible comes from. The word literally means, or the name literally means, Jehovah overthrows. Jehovah overthrows. In other words, it's a very fitting name because the theme of his message is going to be the overthrow of a nation. The message is going to be a message of God's judgment against his people. In the Greek language, this prophet's name was called Jeremiah. So you can find that in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 14. His name is given as Jeremiah in the Greek. And so therefore, Jerome, in his Latin Vulgate from 390 to 405 AD, followed suit and entitled the name of the book Jeremiah. This title was then brought over into our English Bible. And that's why today we have it called the Book of Jeremiah. The Book of Jeremiah. So we see the name of the book. Then notice also the penman. The penman. As we have said before in each of our studies, and as we will continue to say, we know that God himself is the author of this book. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we know that God is the author of this book. However, the human penman, the man that God chose, the man that God used to write down the things that we find recorded in this book is very clearly identified for us again in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says that these are the words of Jeremiah. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. And so very clearly the scriptures show that Jeremiah was the prophet. But not only do we find it stated here, there are also what we call external evidences that show that Jeremiah was the man God used to write this book. For example, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, we find the testimony of Daniel the prophet. Daniel the prophet gives a testimony concerning the writing of Jeremiah when he declared that it was through the study of the writings of Jeremiah that Daniel came to understand the 70 years of captivity. Daniel understood that through the writing of Jeremiah. So not only do we find the testimony of Daniel the prophet, we also find the testimony of the New Testament. The testimony of the New Testament. The New Testament makes several clear references to Jeremiah's prophecy. For example, I'll just mention one here. But if you compare Matthew chapter 2, verse 17 and verse 18, compare that with Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 15, you find very clearly that in the New Testament, the words recorded in this book of Jeremiah are attributed to Jeremiah. So the external evidences, as well as the internal evidences, show us that Jeremiah was the writer of the book. Letter C, let's talk about the date for just a moment. The date. Before he was born, around 657 BC, the Lord God ordained Jeremiah to be a prophet. That's found in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5. God called him to be a prophet, and Jeremiah was a faithful prophet. As I said a moment ago, he was a faithful prophet whose ministry lasted for nearly 50 years. But I want us to notice a couple of things here. First of all, the beginning of his prophecy. Jeremiah, when he was about 30 years old, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 2, the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And so as a child, before he was born, God chose Jeremiah, but it was not until many years later, during the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, around 627 BC, that Jeremiah's ministry actually began. The ministry actually began when Judah was taken into Babylonian captivity around 586 BC. Jeremiah, we know, was allowed to stay in Jerusalem. Later on, around 582 BC, he went with a group of Jews from Israel and moved down into Egypt. We find that in Jeremiah 43. Verse 7 and verse number 8. And there in Egypt he ministered for a while. So we see the beginning of his ministry, but then also the ending of his ministry. Even though the exact date is not known, it is believed that Jeremiah died when he was around 80 years of age. When he was around 80 years of age, there is also differences of opinion concerning how he died. The Bible does not tell us, but various traditions, Jewish traditions, church traditions, have been passed down. And there are some who claim that Jeremiah was stoned to death while ministering in Egypt. That's one tradition that has come down. Another tradition that has been passed down is that Jeremiah was actually taken from Egypt, was taken to Babylon, where he lived out the rest of his days in captivity under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Which one of those is true? I don't know. But those are possibilities. Or it may be something we haven't even thought about. But the fact of the matter is, for our study, we're going to say that this book was probably written between 627 and 577 B.C., the date of the writing. Let's notice number two now, the purpose. And as we consider the purpose, first of all, we find the historical purpose. Even though God had patiently called his people to repent of their sins, his judgments would not be held off forever. Let me just say something to you this morning, that when we sin, God is very gracious, isn't he? When we sin, God is very gracious in that he does not immediately send a bolt of lightning, you know. When we sin, it's not, and you're gone. God is very gracious. He's very kind. He's very long-suffering. And the reason why God is long-suffering is simply because God in his mercy, God in his grace, desires to give to us an opportunity to repent of those sins. God desires to give us an opportunity to turn from our sin, to turn from our rebellion, and to walk in obedience to his word. But see, here's the danger. Many times, because of God's grace, because of God's mercy, when he does not immediately deal with us because of our sin, our human nature kicks in, and we begin to think that we have gotten away with our sin. Let me just remind you, the Bible still says, be sure your sin will find you out. You can count on it. God is going to deal with sin. And God gives us an opportunity to repent. But if we continually rebel against God, and we continually refuse to repent of our sin, there will come a day when God says, that's enough. And judgment will come. That's exactly what happened in Jeremiah. That's exactly what happened here in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah ministered during the days that were just before and just after the fall of the nation of Judah to the Babylonians. God had given them years and years, decades to repent and to turn from their sin. And they had ignored God's grace. They ignored God's mercy. And finally, God said, that's it. And judgment came. Judgment came. That's the historical purpose. There's also a theological purpose. A theological purpose. And the theological purpose is simply to remind us of two very important points. First of all, it is to remind us of the fact that surrender to God's will is the only way to escape God's judgments. And it also reminds us of the fact that God is faithful. He is faithful to fulfill all of his promises. He fulfills his promises to bless us, but he also fulfills his promises to judge us, to chasten us, to deal with us. God is faithful to keep all of his promises. That's the theological lesson that we learn from the book of Jeremiah. Now I want you to notice number three, the story. The story. As we go through this book of Jeremiah, we find it's divided up, and we begin by noticing part number one. Part number one. Part number one is the introduction. It is the introduction found in Jeremiah chapter 1. And in this chapter, we find basically two things are shown to us. First of all, we are told of Jeremiah's call, how he was called to be a prophet, how he was chosen by God to serve in that office as a prophet of God. We see his call. We also see Jeremiah's assurance, his assurance. And the assurance that God gave to Jeremiah, it's found in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 19. Here's the assurance that God gave. They shall fight against thee. They shall fight against thee. Now, that's the first assurance that God gave him. When you stand up for God's truth, mark it down, you're going to face problems. When you stand up for God's truth, you're going to have enemies who are going to come against you. Satan will see to it. Anytime you take a stand for God, you take a stand for His Word, you take a stand for what is right, you will suffer persecution for that. They shall fight against thee. That's the first promise. But aren't you glad for the second promise? But they shall not prevail against thee. And the reason why they will not prevail, even though they might fight against you, they will not be victorious. And the reason is simply because God said, I am with thee. I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. And so we find the assurance that was given to Jeremiah. That's in part number one. Then we come to part number two. Part number two takes us from Jeremiah chapter 2 over to chapter 45. Jeremiah chapter 2 to chapter 45. And in this section, we find several things are given to us here. First of all, we find the condemnation of Judah is stated. The condemnation of Judah is stated. This is found in chapter 2 to chapter 14 and verse number 6. And in this section, we find actually recorded for us six sermons. There are six sermons that are contained in this section in which some general principles are given. There's some general things that are given to us. First of all, we find that Judah had sinned willfully. Judah had sinned willfully. In other words, these sins that Judah committed were not a mistake. It was not an oversight. You know, sometimes it is possible for people to sin and not know they're sinning. You know, I mean, sometimes that happens. Even the Bible speaks of that, called sins of ignorance. There are times when people, because they don't know what God says, or maybe they haven't been saved long enough to learn some key biblical principles, there are times when people may sin and not even realize they're sinning. Those are sins of ignorance. But the Bible also speaks of presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins. Those are sins when you look at a temptation that comes your way. And you look at that temptation and you know in your heart what you ought to do. You know in your heart the choice you ought to make. You know the priority you ought to have in that matter. And you look at all of that, and yet on the other side, there's your flesh. And your flesh is saying, yeah, I know I shouldn't do that, but boy, I really want to. And I know God says it's wrong, but boy, it would be so much fun. And it would be so enjoyable. And it would be so much easier not to make that kind of commitment. Surely God will understand. Yes, He does understand. He understands you're a rebel. That's what he understands. He understands you're a rebel in that you look at the options and you choose willfully to ignore God and to do that which God said you should not do. Or you ignore God and you refuse to do what God said you ought to do. Both of those are equally sinful. That's what Judah did. They sinned willfully. Sinned willfully. It wasn't an ignorant thing that they did. They knew full well what they were doing. And yet they did it anyway. Did it anyway. They sinned willfully. There's a second thing we find in this section. The second sermon that is given is that Judah is going to be judged. Judah is going to be judged. Again, as I said a moment ago, God is faithful. He always judges sin. Even the sins of His own people, God's going to judge them. You have sin in your life, I want to tell you right now, God's going to deal with it. He's going to deal with it. God deals with the sins of his people. Then in the third sermon, Jeremiah shows how that Judah had become hypocritical in their worship. They had become hypocritical in their worship. In other words, they were all content with the outward ceremonies, the outward rituals. But while they were going through all of those things, their heart was far from God. They were hypocrites in their worship. In the fourth sermon, Jeremiah shows how that Judah had broken her covenant with God. Judah had made promises to God, but she broke those promises. She broke those promises. In the fifth one, Jeremiah shows how that Judah was filled with false hope because she listened to false prophets. She was filled with a false hope because she listened to false prophets who were teaching things that were clearly contrary to the Word of God. In the next sermon, we find that Judah then would suffer a dearth. She would suffer a famine. She would suffer a drought. In other words, she's going to go through very difficult times because she has ignored God and has ignored the Word of God. Those are the six messages that we find in that beginning part, in part number one. And then we find that there was a personal parentheses that was given. A personal parentheses. This is found in chapter 14, verse 7 to chapter 16 and verse number 9. And in this parentheses, Jeremiah gives some personal information concerning himself. He gives us some personal information. He talks about his intercessions with God, how that he prayed for the nation of Judah, his intercessions with God. He also speaks of his encouragement from God, how that God encouraged him even in those difficult times. God encouraged him. And then he also speaks of his prohibition by God. There were some things that Jeremiah was commanded he could not do. He was prohibited from doing them. Some things he could not do. Two things are mentioned in the text. First of all, he could not marry. He could not marry. And secondly, he could not have children. Could not have children. He was prohibited from doing those things. The personal parentheses that we find in the story. And then there is the condemnation of Judah explained. This is found in chapter 16, verse 10 to chapter 20, verse number 18. Before, in the first part, we saw some very general messages. But now Jeremiah is going to become specific. He's going to become specific. And he's going to show that these judgments of God are going to come on the nation of Judah because of three things. They had become idolatrous. They had become idolatrous. They had turned from worshiping the true and living God. They're now worshiping the idols and the gods of the heathen nations around them. They had become idolatrous. They had also broken the Sabbath. They had broken the Sabbath. God's going to deal with them because of that. And they had also persecuted God's prophet. We find that Jeremiah, instead of being received as a man of God, was treated like a criminal. He was thrown into prison. He was incarcerated in a dungeon. In fact, as a result of the treatment that he received, we find Jeremiah complaining. Yes, even pastors sometimes complain. We try not to do it publicly. We try to keep ours hidden, you know. But yeah, sometimes we complain. And Jeremiah complained about the way he was being treated. In fact, notice it in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 9. Here's what Jeremiah said because of the treatment he was receiving. Jeremiah said, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." In other words, Jeremiah said to the nation of Judah, "I have been preaching God's truth to you. I have told you what God is going to do if you don't repent. I have pleaded with you. I have prayed for you. I have urged you to turn from your wicked way and to walk in obedience to God's word, and you won't listen to me. You won't do what I'm telling you you ought to do. And now you're mistreating me. And you're treating me like a criminal. Well, I tell you what. Just go ahead and go to judgment. I don't care. I'm not going to preach to you anymore. That's what he said. But his word, Jeremiah said, his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Because the word of God so controlled his thinking, because the word of God was abiding in him as it should, because of the things that Jeremiah saw going on around him, even though the people were not listening, they were not paying attention, they were not obeying the admonitions that he gave, yet Jeremiah, as a man of God, could not be silent. And he had to continue preaching. And yet, because the people continued to ignore the message that was being given, Jeremiah declared that they would be punished. And yet, right in the middle of all of that, notice there's a message of hope. In Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 15, here's the message of hope. I will bring them again into their land. Yes, all of these judgments are going to fall. All of these judgments are going to come. Judah is going to be carried away. I'm going to deal with her because of her sin. But I will not forget my promise to them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. We also find then that there is the condemnation of Judah's kings. The condemnation of Judah's kings. Chapter 21, chapter 23, verse 8. Jeremiah spoke against King Zedekiah. He also spoke against King Shalem. He spoke against King Jehoiakim. He also spoke against King Coniah, who was also called Jehoiachin. And he spoke against these kings because of their wickedness in their leadership. He spoke against these kings because of their rebellion against God. And after bringing a message of condemnation against these kings, Jeremiah then gave the promise. He gave a prophecy concerning a better king that would one day come. He said it in these words, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 and verse 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. A better king is surely going to come. We also find in this section that Jeremiah brings a condemnation against Judah's false prophets. Chapter 23, verse 9 to chapter 24, verse 10. And then again, there is a promise of Judah's captivity. Jeremiah 25, verse number 1 to verse number 38. All of that is found in part 2. The messages of condemnation. And then we see part number 3, the conflicts of Jeremiah. The conflicts of Jeremiah. This is found in chapter 26, verse 1 to chapter 29. And there are 3 conflicts that Jeremiah faced during his ministry at the nation of Judah. First of all, there was a conflict with the nation. There was a conflict with the nation. There was also a conflict with the false prophets whom he was speaking against. And there was also a conflict with those who were in exile. Those who were in exile. Again, conflict with the man of God. Then I want you to notice part number 4. We see the promised restoration. In chapter 30 to chapter 33, we find the promised restoration. And through the prophet Jeremiah, God gives the promise that even though his people, because of their sin, have been carried away into captivity, yet 4 things are going to be restored to them. 4 things are going to be restored. First of all, there will be the restoration of their land. The restoration of their land. There will also be the restoration of their nation. Both Judah and Israel are going to be restored. Both will be restored. There will be the restoration of their city, the city of Jerusalem. It's going to be restored. And there will also be the restoration of the covenant, the restoration of God's promises to them as his chosen people. And so we see the promised restoration is given by the prophet Jeremiah. In part number 5, we find recorded the fall of Jerusalem in chapter 34 to chapter 45. And this is divided into 3 parts. First of all, we see the events before the fall. Events that took place before the fall. We find that a book was burned during this time. In Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 22 to verse 34, Jeremiah's book is brought before the king. He reads of God's coming judgments. He reads of God's condemnation against the nation because of their willfulness and their sinfulness and their rebellion against God. And the king responded to the word of God. And here's how he responded. The Bible says he took out a penknife and he cut it up. And he threw it into the fire. That was the contempt that the king had for the word of God. That was the contempt that he had for the word of God. We find the burning of a book, but then we also find in Jeremiah 37, we find the prophet was imprisoned. Chapter 37 to chapter 38. The prophet is put into prison. Instead of being listened to, instead of being honored as a man who was bringing them God's truth, they imprisoned the prophet Jeremiah. Events before the fall. Then we see events that took place during the fall. Events that took place during the fall. Here we find recorded how the city of Jerusalem falls before Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. The city falls. We also see that the prophet was released. The Jewish people put their prophet in prison. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, released him and actually treated him very well. Treated him very well. The prophet released. And then we see the faithful honored. This is particularly speaking of a man by the name of Ebed-Melech. And we see this faithful man who is honored by God. Faithful man. Honored by God. These are events that took place during the fall. And then we see events that took place after the fall. And here we find how that Jeremiah ministered for a time, as we mentioned earlier, first in Judah, then went down into Egypt and ministered there in the land of Egypt to the Jews that had gone into exile in the land of Egypt. All of that is recorded in this section. And then in part number 6, we find prophecies concerning the Gentiles. This is found in chapter 46 to chapter 51, or chapter 51, chapter 46 to 51. And in this section, we find that there are 8 nations that are specifically named. God is going to deal with them. Egypt, Philistia, Moab, Ammon, Edom, Damascus, Kedar and Hazar, Elam. But specifically, we find mentioned Babylon. God is going to deal with Babylon. God's judgments are going to come against the very nation that God chose to use as an instrument for punishing his own people. In other words, God, even though they are instruments because their own hearts have not repented, even though they have been used of God to accomplish his plan, his purpose, yet God is going to bring judgment against even them because they themselves have refused to repent and to humble themselves before the Lord. And so therefore the Bible says in Jeremiah 51, verse number 49, as Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. In other words, Babylon as a nation is going to reap exactly what they sowed. They're going to reap exactly what they sowed. Then we find in part number 7, we find a historical review. In chapter 52, we have a historical review where Jeremiah reviews for us the historical account, first of all, of the capture of Jerusalem. He reviews the capture of Jerusalem. He also reviews the destruction of Jerusalem. How the walls are torn down, the gates are burned. He reviews that. He reviews the exile to Babylon. And then he reviews the release and the liberation of King Jehoiachin there in Babylon. This is the review that Jeremiah gives. That's the story. That's the story found in the book of Jeremiah. Now let's notice very quickly the revelation. And I want us to go back to the verse that we read earlier, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper, shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." This is very clearly a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, this is a very important prophecy, because as you study through the history of the Bible, you will find that there was a curse that was placed on one of David's sons. The Bible says that on Coniah, the son of Jehoiachin, Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 28 to 30, there was a curse that was placed upon him. In other words, the curse was that none of his descendants would ever sit on the throne of David. None of his descendants would ever ascend to the throne. And there are some who have speculated that because of this curse, God's plan was canceled out, that somehow God's plan was all messed up, and that Jesus Christ really was not a legitimate heir to the throne of David. Let me just say something to you this morning, and if you don't remember anything else out of the study of Jeremiah, I want you to remember this one statement. That is this: the failures of men never cancel out the faithfulness of God. Did you get that? The failures of men never cancel out the faithfulness of God. That's why we find there are two genealogies that are listed in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 to verse number 17, we find that Christ's lineage is traced. It's traced from Abraham to David, through Solomon to Jeconiah to Joseph, who was the adopted father of the Lord Jesus. He was not the father, but he was the adopted father of the Lord Jesus. Because of the curse on Jehoiachin, no son of Joseph would ever be a legitimate heir to sit on the throne of David. However, this was not an issue with the Lord Jesus, because he was virgin born. Joseph had nothing to do with it. So the curse did not affect the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why in Luke chapter 3, we find another genealogy is given. In Luke chapter 3, verse 23 to verse number 38, the lineage actually begins with Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. And it moves from Mary going backward, and it goes all the way back to Adam, who was the son of God, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 3. And so it begins with Mary, it goes back, and it goes through Nathan. Doesn't go through Solomon, but it goes through David's other son, a man by the name of Nathan. and thereby the curse was avoided. The curse was avoided, and therefore the righteous branch that Jeremiah foretold, that righteous branch is going to find its perfect fulfillment in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the legitimate heir to the throne of David, and he will certainly rule and reign in that coming day. He will rule and reign. For nearly 50 years, Jeremiah declared that judgment was coming if the nation of Judah did not repent. And even though many years passed, the judgment eventually did come. The judgment did come, just like God promised. Two things that I want us to remember, two things I want us to learn. Number one, God promises to deal with sin. God promises to deal with sin. Whether it's sins that we commit, or whether it's sins that come from omitting to do what God wants us to do. Either way, it's sin. God deals with sin. He promises to do that. He promises to deal with sin, but then you also need to remember that God always keeps his promises. God always keeps his promises. I would like to close by encouraging each one of us to pray the prayer the psalmist prayed when he said, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Know what's inside of me. See if there be any false way. See if there be any wicked way. Bring it to light that I might not try to hide it, but that I might confess it, that I might make things right with God." Certainly, I hope that would be our desire, that would be our desire this morning as we consider these things together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your